Thank you for joining Dayspring Christian Church today. Our aim is to share the transforming love and power of Jesus Christ. Please enjoy a Sunday sermon already in progress.
Praise the Lord. I want you to turn with me, if you can, to Exodus chapter 17. Go look at Exodus chapter 17. Exodus chapter 17. We're going to look at two scriptures, but we're going to start with Exodus chapter 17. I'm going to share my screen so that you can follow along. Exodus chapter 17. Hopefully you can see that clearly. Let's read. Then all the congregation of the sons of Israel journeyed by stages from the wilderness of Sin, according to the command of the Lord, and camped at Rehidim, and there was no water for the people to drink. Therefore the people quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water that we may drink." And Moses said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" But the people thirsted there for water, and they grumbled against Moses and said, "Why now have you brought us up from Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried out to the Lord, oh, poor Moses, saying, What shall I do to this people? A little more, and they will stone me. Then the Lord said to Moses, pass before the people and take with you some of the elders of Israel and take in your hand your staff with which you struck the Nile and go. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock at Horeb, and you shall strike the rock and water will come out of it, and the people that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. He named the place Massah and Meribah because of the quarrel of the sons of Israel, and because they tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" Verse 8, then Amalek came and fought against Israel at Rephidim. So Moses said to Joshua, "Choose men for us and go out to fight against Amalek. Tomorrow I will station myself on the top of the hill with the staff of God in my hand." Joshua did as Moses told him and fought against Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. So it came about when Moses held his hands up, the Israelites prevailed, and when he let his hand down, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy. Then they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it, and Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and one on the other. Thus his hands were steady until the sun set. So Joshua overwhelmed Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Write this in a book as a memorial and recite it to Joshua, that I will utterly blot out the memory of Amalek from under heaven." Moses built an altar and named it, "The Lord is my banner." And he said, "The Lord has sworn, the Lord will have war against Amalek from generation to generation." I want us to look at Isaiah chapter 35, verse 3 and 4. And it says this, "Encourage the exhausted and strengthen the feeble. Say to those with anxious hearts, take courage, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. the recompense of God will come, but he will save you. It's interesting listening to Janae do her word of encouragement, you know, and I just was listening to her. I thought, man, Lord, you're speaking today. I want where you are just to read that as it's on your screen with me. Let's read it together. Encourage the exhausted and strengthen the feeble. Say to those with anxious hearts, take courage, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. The recompense of God will come, but he will save you. Go ahead and look at your neighbor and just tell them, he will save you. He will save you. He will save you. Let's pray. Father, I just ask today that you would just speak to us, your children. We're going through so many different things, and maybe like the children of Israel, we're questioning why we're here, what we're going through, where you are even in the midst of it. I pray that you'd encourage our hearts today. I pray that you'd encourage us today. I pray, God, that you remind us that you're a loving Father and you are with us. And even as Janae testified that you have been with her, so we will see that you are with us. And God, that you will save us. You will. And so lead our time this morning through this word. And let it be a reminder, not only for now, but for the weeks and the days and the weeks to come, that we'll be reminded that you're the God who seeks to encourage and to build up, and the God who seeks to edify, the God who seeks to renew and to revive and to restore. And we put our trust in you this morning in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen and amen and amen. Isaiah 53, verse 3 to 4 in the NIV, it says, strengthen the feeble hands, steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong, do not fear, your God will come. He will come with vengeance, with divine retribution, and he will come to save you. The question I have to ask you this morning is, are you exhausted? Are you exhausted? If I say that, if a smile comes on your face, then yeah, you're with me. Like you're just nodding. You're just with me. Like, are you going through mental exhaustion? Just so many things on your mind, so many things that you're going through. I mean, I'm going through it. You know, Pastor Lori and I talked about it, and others are going through it. You know, are you emotionally exhausted? Right? Emotionally exhausted, just dealing with stuff again and again. And some of the stuff's not even your stuff, right? Look at the person beside you. Some of it's their stuff. It's not even, look at the people in the room with you. Some of it's their stuff. It's not even your stuff. And it's just emotionally weighing you down. Like, my goodness. You know, sooner or later, this happens to all of us. I don't care how spiritually you are. I don't care how high and mighty we think you are. And that's no one in Day Spring. I know we're not like that at all. But, you know, it doesn't matter even how smooth of a road you're going down, and the time that you spent with the Lord and your devotional times are at plus 10. Sooner or later, we go through a time like this where we feel exhausted. We're just busy doing life, you know, trying to, you know, do things harder, trying to do things better. We're trying to get it all done, juggling the responsibilities, carrying this constant pressure, this constant stress. And, you know, one thing drops, another thing pops up. You know, that thing drops down, another thing pops up. And then one day you just realize that you're crumbling. You realize that, man, this pressure is getting a bit more, the stress is getting a bit more, you're feeling exhausted, you're forgetting things, you're concerned about things, you're not sleeping well, you know, your devotional time may be struggling, you know, you realize that even your, you know, I use it with the staff, your passion meter seems to be, you know, going towards empty on a particular things. And, you know, there's a lack of motivation that's there. And sometimes we can see that, you know, different pieces seem to be falling one at a time, bit by bit. We're trying to juggle these things and they just seem to be slipping because we can't keep up with the juggling. And we're not even sure what happened. We're not even sure how we got here. We're not even sure because we were on top of it. We had it all together. And then bit by bit, things just began to happen. And we know where we're spent. We know we're dry. We know we're weary. We know we're depleted. We know that we're totally exhausted in every way. And none of us are immune to it. None of us are immune to it. None of us are immune to it. We go through seasons like this, and because life is hard, life is challenging. And we've, even the last 2 years, you know, that we've gone through, you know, that whole experience that we face, that things are different. Things are, you know, maybe more challenging, you know, for some, maybe work situations are changing, you know, governmental things are changing, and life is hard. And often there's not just one big thing that does it. It's like a lot of little things, right? And some of those things are in the house. Some of the things are out of the house, right? Some of the things are like right there before you. And some of the things are, you know, you just leave your house and you come up against it again and again and again, right? Or you run into, as they say, a Karen, right? You're into a Karen or a Ken who just can't mind their stinking business. They have to somehow, you know, just mess with you or say something. Like, and it's like, really? Like, really? You know, the things we go through as parents, you know, the things we go through in our marriage, on the job, right? School, right? Things you go through at school, your relationships, the fears, the worry, the things about the future that we're just not sure about, right? Experience loss, right? Experiencing loss during this time, feeling discouraged, just even illness, right? Illness, just physical things we're going through. And then on top of that, money problems, right? The finances that get hit, and it just leaves us feeling beaten down. You know, for you, it leaves us feeling beaten down. And I know this sounds really heavy and like almost depressing, but this is reality. And there's so many of us on Zoom that we are right here. We're right here. And I've had to confess it in the last couple of weeks because I was feeling I was right here. Was right here. Some of the causes of this exhaustion is just some of us have jobs that are so high pressure. The stress, just we're going from one thing to the next, right? Some of us are in emergency jobs where it's just you have to be on the ball all the time because they're emergency situations. You know, some of you, based on the challenge that you face every day, right? Those of you that are teachers, right? The unpredictability of students and situations, unpredictability of teachers, right? Unpredictability of students, unpredictability of things that we face. The financial stress. Some are going through financial stress, right? There's just not enough money. There's, you know, or things have changed or things need to be repaired or, you know, things, you know, happened. The dissatisfaction that you're going through on the job. Right, just so not happy, so dissatisfied, right? There's the family strife and family conflict contributes to it, right? So like, and sometimes you expect that at the home, like in the family, this is where the peace should be, right? We should escape everything else, come back. Sometimes just locking yourself in the bathroom is where you get peace. Some of you parents know all about that, right? Now, some of you are caregivers. You know, some of you are caregivers for an ill or for the elderly and a loved one, and you know, you're exhausted. You know, some of you are living with conditions, chronic conditions, you know, chronic illnesses, and you're exhausted. Some of you experience even recently the death of a loved one, right? And some in a row, it's been family members in a row and family situations and you know, even, you know, as we heard earlier, even having a baby or poor life, work-life balance, right? You know, work seems to be getting the majority of what life and family needs to be getting, and you're exhausted. And then there's a lack of support, right? Those who expect to get support from you not getting the support. So many strong, courageous, even faith-filled people in the Bible were weary also. Some people in scripture got weary. Abraham got weary, right? In the middle of a famine, right? He got weary. Moses got weary. Oh my goodness, Moses got weary. David got weary. David got weary to the point where he stayed home. He was supposed to go out to battle and he was home, right? He got weary from running from Saul. He got weary dealing with his kids who were even trying to dethrone him. Elijah got weary so much that he was just like, forget this. I ain't doing this anymore. Like, you know, he's running for his life and the Lord had to strengthen him. But you know what I discovered in really praying through this and looking into the elements of this is that we should never feel guilty. We should never feel guilty for feeling vulnerable. We should never feel guilty for some of the weaknesses we feel, the vulnerabilities that we feel, but only to allow us in those moments to remember where our strength comes from. Right? We have to be reminded in these moments where our strength comes from. Here we see Moses and these people, and once again, you know, God has been guiding them with the pillar, you know, cloud, and Israelites have set out through the desert again until they got to this place where they hoped to find water and there wasn't water, right? They're traveling, they're camping, you know, tearing up, you know, packing up, traveling, you know, putting it down camp, you know, spending three times there or days there, then packing up again and moving. And they got to this place where they hoped to find water, but no water was there. And as you read through the scripture, this is the fourth time since crossing the Red Sea that these people were now grumbling with Moses, right? Like, this is the fourth time this has happened. And all during the journey, the Lord has been dealing with these Israelites, and poor Moses has been dealing with these Israelites. And now they began to test the Lord, right? And Moses said it, well, guys, you've been dealing with me, and I've been, you know, trying to handle this, but now you're testing the Lord, right? And sometimes we test the Lord, and we test him by refusing to trust him. We refuse to trust him by making demands of him, right? Give us water to drink, right? Give us water to drink. And by grumbling against him, and sometimes even those that he places around us, right? That, you know, our spouses, our kids, our managers, our leaders that are around us. Sometimes we spend the time doing that. And these people even said, as you read it with me, is the Lord even amongst us or not? Like, come on. Are you kidding me? Like you just went through the Red Sea. We should have left your throats to Pharaoh to cut off. And now you're going through this. And now you want to ask this question? Those are fighting words, man. Those are fighting words. Like, really, you're going to go that far to even question whether or not God is with you? That you got the job and you got the kids and things are happening. God is sustaining you. And yeah, there's challenges, but now we go as far as to question whether or not God is even here. Whether or not God's even listening, whether or not he even cares. And the people were exhausted and Moses was exhausted. And man, I can almost feel like God was exhausted. Like, God was like, you know, but the Lord gave them water. Like, he should have let their throats dry out. I don't care, man. This is the fourth time they're complaining. And now they come in to give us water and they even question God's integrity and God's character. I would have let them die of thirst. I don't care. I mean, that's why I'm not God. But these wretched people would have felt it that day. Complaining and complaining. You don't give a child after they've been whining about something and playing, you don't reward the child, but God understood. God looked beyond that, and he gave them water. He gave them water. He showed up. He showed up for the miserable people. They were exhausted. He showed up. He showed up to help Moses, who was exhausted of hearing these people complain. And God showed up. God showed up. Next thing we know, after these people have been fed, now they're going through battle. They're being attacked. And the Amalekites came to attack them because they're not getting close to the Amalekite territory. And the Amalekites were relatives. These were descendants of Esau, and they were distant cousins of the Israelites. And they believed, but they didn't believe that God was the true God of Israel, of the land. Instead, they had remained hostile to Israel. They had remained hostile to God. And as these Israelites drew near to their territory, Amalek decided, you know what? Let's go get them. They're vulnerable. Let's go get them. And Moses appoints Joshua now to lead this battle. And he says to Joshua, I'm going to go up on the hill. I'm going up in the hill, and I'm going to intercede. I'm going to intercede while you fight. And as usual, Moses holds up his staff like he normally would do. And he begins to intercede. And as his arms begin to get tired and his arms begin to drop, the Bible says that they began to lose the battle. Amalek began to prevail. And as he shook off the tiredness off of his arms, the soreness, he put them back up, all of a sudden Israel began to win. I wonder who noticed that happening. I wonder, was it the people down in the battle? Was it Joshua and the people down in the battle noticing, like we were winning? Well, how come all of a sudden we're losing? Or was it Aaron and Ur who were beside him going like, wait a second. I wonder if they tested it. I wonder if they say, hey, can you do that again? Could you put your hands down for a minute? Oh, no, put them back up. Let's try that again. Like, hey, actually, what's happening is every time your arms get lower, like, we're losing here. But when they're held up, when they're up, we're winning. Like Moses realized that when you're exhausted, that things we're all losing. We're all feeling it. And when your hands are up, and so they decide, you know what, Moses, get you a stone to sit on, and we're going to stand on both sides of you. We're going to hold your hands. We're going to hold them up. We're going to hold them up. And they prevailed, the Bible said. They're exhausted. Moses was exhausted. People were exhausted. Now, even though the odds were stacked against them, the people defeated the strong army. They defeated them. God gave them the victory. God showed up again. These are the people who just were complaining. And God showed up to help them. And God gave them the victory. And to the point where Moses said, the Lord is my banner. The Lord has been covering us this whole time. The Lord has been overshadowing us this whole time. The Lord is prevailing with us. He says, for hands are lifted up to the throne of the Lord. Do you know how important your worship is? Do you know how important it is in the midst of their exhaustion, the midst of your tiredness, to be lifting your hands in worship to the Lord? Do you know what the spiritual advantage that we have when we are worshiping God, when we forget about ourselves, we forget about the things we're going through, we concentrate on him, and worship him? And even the best leaders, the best intercessors, the best prayer warriors, the faithful believers, they grow weary, they grow exhausted. They grow weary, they grow exhausted. And if you're mentally exhausted, you struggle to hold your arms up. You do. If you're exhausted, you struggle to hold your hands up. But the thing is, God's strength is your banner. Do you hear me? we have a Father who is bending over us. He has a canopy over us. He is waving a banner over us, saying, hey, I'm here to protect you. I'm here to watch over you. I know you're exhausted. I know you're weary. I know that, you know, you're going through challenges and struggle, but his strength is our banner. We can depend on his banner. And the constant struggles and demands can feel so intense some days. They can feel like, you know, like, man, we just want to go back to bed, right? You wake up one of those days and it's just going crazy. You're thinking, man, I just want to go back to bed, just not have to deal with this day. We're so worn down. We feel so discouraged at times. We never seem like there's enough hours in the day to get everything done and to get things completed because we've just been so drained, you know, mentally, emotionally drained, and it's so hard to keep going. You feel defeated and feel discouraged, but church, we have to remember, and I want to remind you this morning that Jesus is with us. He's with you. He's with you at work. He's with you at home. He's with you when you're by yourself. He's so close to us, and he promised to never leave us, even when we're weary, even when we're exhausted. He promised that to us. And we see in Isaiah 35, verse 3 to 4, he says, encourage the exhausted. Those of you that are exhausted this morning, I want to encourage you to keep going in the Lord. The Lord is with you. I want to encourage you, even as Janae said, just to call on the name of Jesus. In the midst of when the things are piling up in your mind and they're overtaking your thoughts, you can't even think clearly. Just call on the name of Jesus Christ. He says, encourage the exhausted, strengthen the feeble. He said, these are those that their knees are shaking because they're just so weak. They're so frail because of the hits that they received again and again. They've gone through loss and they've gone through turmoil and tragedy. And they're just wondering what the future is going to be like. And they're vulnerable. He says, strengthen, encourage them and strengthen them. He says, say to the anxious hearts, hey, take courage. Say to those who are anxious, those who are worried or wondering, those who are lacking in sleep, those who are concerned about work or family or marriage or situations of the future, hey, take courage. Take courage. Don't fear. Don't you worry one bit. Because your God is here. Your God's going to come through for you. Look what he says. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. Your God isn't coming. You know that person at work that is just, you know that neighbor, you know that the person just bringing that conflict and you seem to be losing every time? You need to be encouraged. God is taking care of it. God is taking care of that situation. And he says the recompense, you know what the recompense is? It's the reimbursement. It's the reimbursement of God is going to come. In other words, God is going to reimburse you for all the things that you have lost during that time of exhaustion, during that time when you have been beaten down and weary and discouraged. God is going to renew. He's going to restore. He's going to bring it back to bring it to completion. He's going to the divine retribution will come. And this is what it says, as Janae echoed this morning. He's going to come and he's going to save you. Do you hear that this morning, church? It doesn't matter how dark it is. Doesn't matter how weary it is. Doesn't matter how exhausted you may feel. Your God is going to come and he is going to save you. He's going to rescue you. He's going to come sometimes in the midnight hour. Sometimes we feel like, oh man, we just can't handle it anymore. He is going to come and he's going to bring us through it. He's going to save you. Help is on the way. Help is here, church. Help is here right now, right where you're seated, right where you're laying. Right where you are, help is here. Go ahead and just say that out loud wherever you are. Help is here. help is here. Go ahead and say it out loud. God is going to save me. He's not going to leave you. He's not going to forsake you. He's not ignorant of the situation that you're going through. God is going to save you. He's going to bring you out of it. He's going to bring you out on top, and he's going to reimburse you of all the things that you've gone through, all the things the enemy stole and robbed you during this time of weariness. When you're vulnerable, God is going to come, and he's going to save you. He's going to save you. He's going to save you. So help is here. Help is on its way. You may be right in the middle of it. You may have even said, God, where are you? Like, are you even here? Like the Israelites did? Ask God to forgive you of that lack of trust and just repeat this morning. God, I know you're going to save me. God, I know you're going to save me. God, I know you're going to come through for me. God, I know you're going to turn this around. You are not naive of the enemy's devices. God, you are not, this is not taking you by surprise. You saw this day coming. You saw the job turning this way. You saw this happening in the family. You saw this taking place ahead of time. And God, I choose to believe today that you are with me. I choose to believe today that you are bringing me out of it. I choose to believe today that you will save me, and you are saving me, and you are rescuing me. And it might take some time, but I'm going to trust you, Lord. I'm going to trust you, Lord. Now, I speak out opposite from how I'm feeling. I speak out opposite from what I'm thinking, because in my mind, I'm thinking, I still have tomorrow. In my mind, I'm thinking, I still don't feel physically strong. In my emotions, I'm feeling I can't handle another complaint and another quarrel, but I confess I am going to trust the Lord. I confess my God is going to save me. He's going to rescue me. And I can put my trust and my confidence in him. The Apostle Paul wrote these words to a few believers in Galatians 6:9. He says, let us not become weary in doing good. For in proper time, you're going to reap a harvest. In proper time, he's going to save you. In proper time, he's going to rescue you. In proper time, you're going to reap a harvest if you don't give up. If you decide that you're not going to give up, you're not going to give up. Again, in 2 Thessalonians 3:13, he says, as for you, brothers, do not grow weary in doing good. Right? He uses the words, don't grow weary. Don't become, the weariness can be there, but don't let it become your identity. Don't let it become your status. Don't let it become where you remain. He says, don't grow there. Don't become that. And while you're doing good, when you're trying to serve the Lord, when you're trying to lead your family, when you're trying to lead your marriage, you're trying to lead your at your workplace, where you're trying to do the right things. He says, yeah, you're going to be weary, but don't let it overtake you. Your God is going to help you. He's going to save you. Now, Paul must have known very well the feelings of being exhausted. He knew the feelings of being weary. He was totally exhausted at times as the work of the Lord was before him. But he knew what it was like to press through it and to trust the Lord through it. God is going to save you. Matthew 11:28, Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and are burdened, and I'm going to give you rest. I'm coming to help you. I'm going to save you. Just come. If you're weary, if you're exhausted, if you're burdened down, come and I will give you rest, he says. I'm going to save you. In Philippians 4:10, he says, don't be anxious about everything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. He says, then he's going to come and save you. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, It's going to guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. God, you're going to save me. God, you're going to rescue me. In Exodus 33, verse 14, the Lord replies, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. In Zechariah 4, verse 6, he says, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord God Almighty. Not by you working harder, not by you trying to figure it out by yourself, but by I'm going to come and I'm going to rescue you by the power of my spirit. I'm going to save you by my own might. He's going to save you. He's going to come through for us. Hallelujah. Psalms 46, verse 1. Our God is our refuge and our strength. He's an ever-present help. He's the God who rescues us in trouble. He's the God who saves us in trouble. He's the God who's going to show up. He shows up. Isaiah 40, verse 31. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. Exodus 14, verse 14. He's going to fight for us. Exodus 15, verse 26. For I am the Lord who heals you. He's going to come through for us. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9 to 10, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect when you're exhausted. Therefore, Paul says, I boast in my weaknesses, in my power. So the power of Christ rests on me. For Christ's sake, I delight in my weaknesses and the insults and the hardship, the persecution, the difficulties. For those moments where I'm exhausted and weary, I'm vulnerable, those are the times that I'm most strong. Why? Because it's when Christ can show up in me. God is going to save us. God is going to rescue us. God is going to come through for you, church. Those of you exhausted, that you're weary, I want to encourage you this morning. Your God will save you. Your God is going to come through for you. Your God is right with you, and he's not going to let you go through this by yourself. He's not going to let it overtake you. He's not going to leave you through this. He's going to be with you every step of the way, and he will show up as the God that he is so that he gets all the honor, the glory, and the praise. And all he asks us to do is to trust him, to trust him. It may seem crazy, but trust him. You may be exhausted, just trust him. When you go to pray, all you can say is Jesus and say his name just to silence your mind and your heart. Just trust him. Just trust him. Just trust him. Just trust him. He will come and save you. He will come and save you. Let's pray, Father God.